You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards, so any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards, because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 21st Century Football. It's the Euros. We're getting very excited. And cast your mind back to Euro 2004 today. My name's Will Brazier, and we're going to be getting all nostalgic about the tournament. Joining me, as ever, Adam Brown. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm very, very excited about this. This is, for me, one of my favourite tournaments, I'm going to say.
I want to start how I mean to go on. How old were you in this tournament?
Right, this has become a recurring theme.
No, but this is...
I know what you're sort of getting at me here, aren't you? I was old, and I was about 17.
So is this the first drinking major tournament?
Because
I feel like that separates tournaments for people is like, you know, watching at home for your parents or having a bloody pint.
Yeah, to be honest, I watched majority of the games probably at home, but I'd probably say there's a couple of beers involved.
Wow.
Probably would have been, believe it or not. Yeah.
Dave, wild. How old, what were you?
14 years old, I think.
Have we gone from pen and paper to spreadsheets now, had we?
No, I think it was still on pen and paper at this point.
Yeah.
Sitting back and enjoying it.
It is 2004. Of course, that sounded very French then. We are setting the scene, as always, by going to Wikipedia. Dave, I believe you're getting started. Just, you know, paint the picture.
Euro 2004 was the 12th edition of the UEFA European Championship. The final tournament was hosted for the first time in Portugal from the 12th of June to the 4th of July 2004. The 16 qualifying teams for the tournament were Portugal, France, Czech Republic, Sweden, Bulgaria, Denmark, Germany, Greece, England, Italy, Switzerland, Croatia, Latvia, Netherlands, Spain, and Russia.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things is that this is a tournament full of surprises. One particularly huge surprise, which we'll get onto very soon. And weirdly, a bit of a spoiler alert here, just in case you didn't know how this tournament ends or the outcome of it, the first match was the same teams as the last match. So the final game of the tournament was the exact same teams as the opening game, which is weird, incredible to think that can be a thing.
Nice bit of bookending.
There you go, yeah. And also, huge spoiler alert, just so I say that in advance.
I've got, as always, the official song was called Forza, or Forcha, Forza, meaning strength. It was written and performed by Portuguese-Canadian singer, superstar Nelly Furtado. The song was played at every match and performed by Furtado at the closing ceremony. So we've got the scene there. I want to set the scene because over in England, our official song, as we discussed, had off air, there were other songs. The official song was The Farm, All Together Now.
Yep. Which, do you know what, I always, it's one of those songs which just instantly reminds me of disappointment.
Well, it's quite like a, it's a catchy song, because, you know, remembered it nearly 20 years on, but it's just a bit, it's just a bit whiny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What and was the other one that was on
there? Oh, there was one that was, I think it was 442, and it was basically Come On England, which was a kind of a cover version of Come On Eileen.
I don't understand how these still getting commissioned. Someone is wasting a lot of money making these songs.
It was essentially take the word Eileen out and put the word England in, and then in some of the verses they mentioned how cross it like bend it like Beckham, cross it like Gerrard, lob it like Lampard, I think it was, which I didn't know if he was particularly known for his lobs, but apparently in the song it was. But yeah, I mean, it was a bizarre video as well.
They actually preempted it because he had that one against Germany in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, they went 6 years prior to it happening, they made the prediction.
They saw the future.
Well, there you go.
Pre-tournament business as well. Does anyone remember the ball at this time? There's a horrendous picture of me in a full tracksuit with a cap on holding the Euro 2000 ball, which at the time I thought was a design masterpiece.
You're really into balls, aren't you, Will?
Yeah, I am. And this one was quite unique at the time because everything was, you know, white panelled, but this was silver with some sort of little, I don't know, the lines. You remember it?
Little what?
No, did it cause a controversy?
Well, it was a break from tradition. It was silver.
But was it one of those tournaments this where, you know, they went through a phase in the 2000s in these tournaments where it was like, the ball's unplayable. That used to be an excuse.
Jabalani.
There used to be a lot of like English press would get it in early saying, oh, the ball swerves all over the place. The keepers have got no clue where it's going to go. Yeah. And I'm like, that's a great out in case we do really bad in the tournament. I've got a feeling this might have been one of those tournaments where there was all kind of controversy around the ball. It might have looked great, but
when it first came out, you know, thought revolutionary. Looking back, it's horrible. Also pre-tournament business. The England squad. Dave, is there anyone that sort of gets your passions going, gets your heart alight?
No, I think it's a better squad than the previous tournament, for sure. I think it's got a better balance. I think that's the first thing. Nicky Butt's in there, someone that we spoke about. But I think Owen Hargreaves was a good asset then as well. That was when he was kind of a little bit more fit in terms of lack of injuries at Bayern Munich at that time. Top player. Joe Cole was just popping off. I think it's a good squad. I think, you know, looking at the forward line, maybe that's where you could see some improvement there with the two backup strikers, Emil Heskey and Darius Vassell. Then that's a part of the squad when you look at it and you'd say there isn't much depth up front. Maybe we're kind of speaking about that early, which has led to the later part of the thing. In a sense, I do respect both those players, but, you know, you're looking at Rooney at Everton, so fresh. And Michael Owen was still a very good player at Liverpool.
And this was the first tournament that I, as a Birmingham City fan, ever had someone to latch onto, which was Emil Heskey.
Which I've just hammered and destroyed. Good.
Well, we'll get into it, but he actually, and it was nothing to do with him. I think he might actually have given away the free kick, but he actually came on as a sub when we were 1-0 up against France. And when he came on, we ended up losing 2-1, and I thought I was going to get beaten up at school.
I mean, the squad as well, Will, just to, you know, when we looked at the previous tournament, Euro 2000, we mentioned sort of bridging that gap between the older players and then the sort of the new crop that came through. This is very much the new crop. Do you know what I mean? He's finally gone for the John Terrys, the Lampards. Joe Cole made it in there.
I find it quite funny. The two worst players in the squad probably play for Birmingham City and Manchester City.
Who's the Manchester City one, sorry?
David James. I think he was past his prime then. Oh.
Yeah, I remember we had the chant though, England's number one. We loved it, even though he conceded loads at the time. But, you know, but I think this is, for me, where we started seeing those players really kind of kicking on, and the older kind of generation had kind of completely gone out of this squad. Ian Walker as third choice keeper was a bit of a crazy one.
My first memory of Ian Walker, which I know you're all dying to know about, was
Curtin's haircut,
and he actually appeared in a five-a-side net in goal, saving a penalty against Mr. Blobby on Noel's house party.
I mean, that itself would be worthy of getting in any England squad for me. Did he save it?
I don't know. I think it might have been one of them, like, oh, Blobby's gone left, I've gone right.
Oh, well, yeah. Scripted. In a bit of a
weird curveball, Noel Edmund is part of my extended family. Very, very strange.
Is it?
No way.
Fuck me. I've known you nearly 2 years now.
I've never met the guy, but he...
How extended?
My auntie's sister is married to him.
Really?
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Have you ever had a house party with him?
I haven't, no, but I've heard there's games that they play there. Are you a little bit weird?
Has he ever called you on the phone?
Nope, never spoke to the man.
You ever applied for Deal or No Deal?
No, I've never done that.
Won't be allowed under if he's related. Really? Ofcom rules would say he won't be allowed to do it. Yeah, yeah. Because he'd be saying, oh, Noel's fixed it and he's won the money.
We don't have the same surnames or anything.
You do. Dave Edmonds. We'll start now by getting into the groups, and we'll start with England because unlike Euro 2000, the group stages, spoiler alert, actually ends in some semi-success, but we start our first game in Portugal against France. And it's, as always, it seems in these Euros, that it starts so well, Frank Lampard scores, and we're beating the current holders.
Again, you know, sort of reminiscent of Euro 2000 in the sense that we made such a great start, and it's like, whoa, what's going on? We're amazing, we're going to do it. And right until the very end, everything was pointing towards us winning, and then Steven Gerrard, loose pass.
It's very strange, isn't it? It's just like, because the free kick scored by Zidane, that's a moment of quality. Dave, what do you think? David James, it's like on his side, isn't it? But he gives him the eyes.
Yeah, so it's a good free kick, and Zizou's obviously pre-done it at these tournaments, so we know they can do it. But yeah, no, I think Paul Robinson then obviously would have been a bit of a gamble. I think he'd probably just moved to Tottenham, or, you know, left Leeds that long before. Mm. But you look at that, and I do think David James is a weakness within that squad in terms of, is he top quality? Probably not. And you saw that with the Zidane free kick and then the penalty as well. Obviously, he doesn't have a massive chance of saving that, but would a better keeper get closer to it?
Well, then also, obviously, Gerrard's back pass is absolutely terrible. But I just feel if he doesn't need to go in for the ball, it's a moment of head loss from everyone. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, from being 1-0 up in the 90th minute, we end up losing 2-1 to France, which is a bit of a heartbreak hotel.
I mean, do you remember the what happened just before the penalty as well?
Oh, yes, go on.
The infamous Zidane.
Yeah, it's like he's got a mothball down his
throat. Sicked up a little bit and then just bagged the penalty, which is just... Even the way he threw up was calm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, normally, it's a big drama, isn't it? But he was just like, cool, steps up to the plate, puts it away.
Do you think he was really nervous, or just had one too many the night before?
I genuinely don't know. It was bizarre though, because remember at the time seeing it and thinking, has that just happened?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it has. And then he's put it away, and it was just a horrible, horrible moment. But I've got to tell you, even though we lost that game, there was still positives to take from it. I didn't feel like we're done. I know it was only one game in, but sometimes you have a really bad opening game, you think, this tournament's going to pan out. But I did think, actually, if we can go one up for that long against France, tighten up at the back a little bit, eradicate individual mistakes, which was uncharacteristic of Gerrard, really, to be fair, because he did have a good tournament. I still felt quite positive after that game.
Yeah.
As hard as it was in the immediate...
It's the optimist in you.
Exactly, mate, exactly.
Dave, what would we be talking about sort of set-wise again? Is it back to 4-4-2? Is this the problem with the golden generation when we've got the talent trying to slip it all into one place?
Yeah, I think look at the midfield, that's a massive problem. You know, how do you fit them all in? This has been the inherent problem with England for so long. Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes, you have to lose one in there. You've got to throw, you know, some sort of workers in there. I think Owen Hargreaves came in and did quite well
in
an auxiliary role. But no, I think he played wide a bit as well at times for Bayern Munich and for England and at fullback. So is that utility man in there? I think it's a better squad than what we previously had in terms of the defence is definitely stand out ahead. You know, you're looking at the likes of Terry and, you know, Sol Campbell at that point was very, very good.
And Ashley Cole
decent
as well.
Fullbacks. Ashley Cole probably left back of the tournament. So there's a lot of quality in there, but it's still difficult. It basically means you're playing one of Gerrard or Paul Scholes out of position. You know, if we could go back in time play with a three-man midfield, it could be great.
It's like, I always think about this, particularly with this squad when we had, you used to describe it as like the Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes conundrum. I was like, why just play all of them? Just play three. And it's like, no one ever thought of that.
Yeah. No, but as in, that still doesn't work.
Yeah, but I mean, putting one out on the left...
Didn't work as well.
Definitely didn't work.
No, 100%. You know, I mean? you could look at that point, Porto just won the Champions League in a diamond.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're going to go on to the underdogs later on, but surely that's a bit of a lesson there. You think England, two great attacking fullbacks, got Cole, as you mentioned there, probably the best left-back in the world at the time. Gary Neville, up and down.
Yeah.
You've got three potentially really good attacking midfielders in Scholes, Gerrard and Lampard.
Yeah. And we even had Hargreaves.
And Beckham in there as well. But Beckham played a bit of that quarterback role at a time, didn't he? I think that was around the time they were messing about with that. But just feel they didn't get that balance quite right. Did you need both of the centre-forwards as well? As much as Michael Owen was still in his heyday, was it just about throwing an energetic Rooney up, or even being more dogged than that and just playing for an Emil Heskey? You know, there is options there. And it does feel like we are going back and we're kind of belittling the management, but it's kind of shown again that they haven't got it right.
Yeah. The thing is, though, you'd think, at least try one of them. I mean, you've got about three different ideas there, Dave. And
but we're going back in time again. I'm looking at from a 2020 angle or a 2021
angle.
I don't
know. It's progressed. Yeah, it's changed.
2004, where football has massively moved on. But it is the time of when, you know, the Makélélé role came to be a big thing in the Premier League. And that would have been a perfect solution for England then. It just feels like another real, you know, missed out tournament in a sense. And I think it shows their mentality once again. It's another time we've looked at England and they've conceded late and lost a game of football in from a very good position. That needs to be eradicated.
Well, it was eradicated as we absolutely slayed the Swiss in the next game. Wayne Rooney, 18-year-old at the time, obviously all the talk and all the promise around him pre-Man United, but obviously this is the sort of tournament that spurred him on to go to Old Trafford. Rooney bags two, Gerrard gets one. That means we go into the final group game against Croatia. Both teams can go through, but both teams together can't go through. So it's a sort of playoff scenario. We go 1-0 down, but then, Sven finds a way, Dave. That's what he does. He's a tactician. He's a genius. At this time, Wayne Rooney. Was it do metatarsal in this one, or was it the start of the quarters?
I think it was in the quarters.
Yeah, in the quarters. Well, at this time, he scored two in the last one. He scores two in this. We are thinking, we've got the world at our feet, the best young player in Europe, and it's coming home.
I'm telling you what, I think that Rooney in that tournament was probably the most exciting player I've ever seen for England in a tournament, by far. I mean, obviously, I'm old, Will, but I'm not old enough to quite remember the 1990 World Cup.
Jeff Hoyes got you off your feet, didn't he, back in 66? he's not that old!
No, but for me, seeing Rooney, we could potentially go into the latter stage of the tournament. If we can keep him fit, which is ultimately the downfall of England, I think, in this tournament. But I think, unbelievable. He just played completely fearless. Just he looked untouchable in some of them games. His control, the strength. I was like, I can't believe we've got a player who's this good. It's weird because he played so like uncharacteristic of what England had been in previous tournaments that I'd watched, where he was taking games by the scruff of the neck. He was running at players. He was direct. He was scoring goals from outside the box. He was scoring simple strikers' goals, headers. He just seemed completely invincible in that tournament.
But England have had players like Wayne before. Paul Gascoigne is another Rooney type player. And I think that's England are now producing more players like that. And it's taken them a bit of time to get there. But now we think of the England squad. How many of those players now do you look at Wayne Rooney and think is a similar player there that could do that?
I also think that, do you think part of it is not Sven saying play with as much freedom as you want and do what you want? I think that's just Rooney's game. I think he'd have just gone, I'm just going to play like that.
No, 100%. Sven is very much a 4-4-2 organised manager. They were organised, and it is Rooney himself that carried this England side in an attacking sense, for sure, 100%. Think about the midfield was more very much of a midfield. You say Joe Cole's probably the spark in there as well, in terms of having that ability to do something to open up the game. And Wayne's very much in that situation that Rooney then was probably, one of the best forms of Wayne Rooney, because his game was very jagged in a sense. Very, very sort of playing on instinct, driving through and fearless. And I think that's something that Wayne continued to have through his career. Maybe it got coached out of him towards the end, but at this point, very, very difficult to play against.
Unbelievable.
And beating some of the best centre-halves in Europe. You think of that France team, top quality defence. Croatia as well at that point were decent. Niko Kovac, Igor Tudor, good players.
Yeah.
Good defenders. And I think that's credit to Wayne Rooney and the rest of the side.
Do you get that sense, Will? Especially in that Croatia game, when he'd already scored two against Switzerland, but then he did it again against Croatia.
Yeah, and I think, well, we'll come to it when it's.
I just find it.
I did, honestly.
Every time.
I get carried away too easy.
That's what I mean. Like, you win two games of football in the group stage. You're like, we're going to win.
Mate, honestly.
Just have a bit of realism.
No, I can't. He goes, I can't think logically, mate.
What's the point of having realism?
You don't win one game and think you're going to win everything.
But club football, I do, but with international, I completely get swept up in all the fever, me. I can't help it.
And
no matter what.
Yeah.
There's, like you say, the farm's blaring out.
Exactly.
I've got 4-4-2 coming England in the background. I can't help it. Dave, do you not get caught up in the romance of it all?
I think we as the fans, we drive this media rubbish that comes around.
Do you not love it? Just
puts extra player on these players, follows their wives, gets involved in their life.
No, hang on, we're getting a bit too deep here. We're just saying, we're behind England. If they win, we get behind them. We're not talking about the
all links together.
Listen, I think, with this scenario, it'd be like we're having the party where we're after the Croatian, we're going and with the music's playing. We've got all the England classics on.
Yeah.
Vindaloo's going, all the rest of it. And Dave knocks on saying, keep the noise down.
Yeah, guys, come on. I want to think about Man United next year, please.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's there going, I hope Rooney don't get injured because we're going to sign him. And worried about
that. That'll probably be more my concern, to be honest.
We're too busy riding the crest of a wave of England bringing the Euros on.
And then when it falls apart, you guys are there there crying. I'm there having to console you. Here's a boost bar. Here's a Snickers, Will. Smile. Honestly, it's only football, mate. We're going to win the Ashes. It doesn't matter. Freddy Flintoff's about to skittle the Australians out.
If you ever have a hangover, a boost bar and a Ribena, absolutely. Yeah.
Combination.
So that leaves France and England to qualify from Group B. After slaying Croatia and Switzerland, we send them slugs home. And let's have a look at Group A, which includes the hosts. And as Ad alluded to earlier, the first game of the tournament is between Portugal and Greece. And as we said, spoiler alert, those two play each other in the final. But a young Ronaldo pops up with a 93rd minute consolation goal as Greece win the first game.
Whoa, you forget. Ronaldo conceded the penalty that made it 2-1 to Greece. Foul in the penalty area.
Karagounis.
Track him back.
Karagounis and... Go on, David.
That's a nasty. Come on, man. Sorry, yeah. Back yourself. You got it. But no, just to highlight that, that kind of shows Ronaldo's naivety at that point. Still quite a young player at Manchester United. Scored a really good goal, though, to kind of cancel out his mistake. But Greece beat Portugal.
I think, was it Greece for the first time in the Euros in 20-odd years or something like that? I think it's 24 years they hadn't been in the Euros.
They were making up for it, weren't they? But Portugal, the host as well. Spain in that group as well with Russia. But it's Portugal and Greece that go through, which sends Spain home.
And I just want to interject very quickly here, Will. When you look at that table from Group A, and again, you know, what I will say is Greece go on to do pretty well in this tournament. Don't want to spoil it completely. But when they actually qualified second in that group, Portugal won the group, and Greece and Spain second and third. Greece actually only got through on goal difference.
They've both got the same goal difference here. What they got? Goals for?
Goals for, in fact, yeah. Goals for. So that's how they've progressed.
It's a free score in Karagounis.
Yeah, which is crazy to think that, you know, their record in the group stages is 1-1, draw 1, lost 1.
Get them through. Dave, what I found interesting as well, in the first episode we mentioned that Euro 2000 was almost, you know, sort of the dawn of the dead for Germany. It was bad, but it led to recovery. Spain and here going out in the group stage, and then you think what they go on to achieve. Is that sort of a wake-up moment for them as well?
Yeah, I think they changed their style. Well, this was pre-Guardiola. I think that's the big thing, pre-Guardiola's Barcelona, which changes Spain, changes Catalonia for the better. And I think that's a level where we look at Spain. It is your Morientes who did get to the Champions League final with Monaco that season. Morientes, Raul, Valeron from Deportivo La Coruña. What a team they were. But again, didn't make it out of the group. I think the interesting side as well is Greece drew one, lost one, won one. Kind of stumbled through, in a sense. Could have been very different.
We'd take that though, wouldn't we? So obviously Greece and Portugal go through. In Group C, Sweden, Denmark, Italy and Bulgaria. And we're sending another superpower nation home. Italy go. Sweden, absolutely bagging them. Look at some of these names that rolled off the tongue. Lundberg, Larsson, Henrik, that is. Ibrahimovic playing. Well, he was supposed to go to this upcoming tournament, wasn't he? But he's got injured at the age of 40. Marcus Ullwack, Jesper Gronkjaer, John Dahl Thomason, Martin Petrov. I mean, this is an absolute nostalgia trip. Inject it into me, Adam.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of players that Birmingham City would have signed on freeze.
We did get Jesper Gronkjaer.
It just feels like, yeah. I mean, Sweden, obviously 5-0 against Bulgaria, which was an interesting one. I mean, they end up winning the group, but obviously Italy was a big surprise for a lot of people, I think.
Three teams on 5 points, and again, goal difference comes down to it. Sweden stomping home in that first game, which saw them through against Bulgaria, and then Italy just not doing enough, not getting the goals, maybe too reliant on the old defending, Dave.
Well, it was a tournament where Cassano really broke out as a player in European football, was at Bari, then joined Roma and played a lot at Roma, and this was the kind of the tournament where he was in the same category as Wayne Rooney, as young, talented players. You know, he was the next great number 10 coming through the Italian ranks after, you know, Totti's obviously still knocking around at this point. Baggio obviously in there as well. And it was his tournament, and they were a little bit unlucky to go out, you know, same points as Denmark getting through on goal difference. I do feel for Italy in this tournament. I think they were a good side, but didn't quite get through.
Group D sees Czech Republic, Netherlands, Germany and Latvia. And to keep the narrative going, we send another super nation home. Germany, who've not quite got into full gear, but spoiler alert, they do quite well later on in life, go out in third place with 2 points. So in the first two Euros we've covered, Germany have not won a single game in six And that's quite crazy to think of.
Yeah, that's when why we saw much ambition. But they had some good midfielders. Torgerson Frings, the goal that he scored in the opening game against the Netherlands was an unbelievable strike,
unbelievable hit.
Just a great goal. I don't know why, but I always imagine German midfielders banging in really good goals from 30, 40 yards in this period of time where they didn't have much quality going forward. But the midfield was good. And I think it was a crack from outside the box again, some swerve on it. But I'm going to say now, the Czech Republic this tournament were my team of the tournament. They were unbelievable. Great team to watch.
The hipster's choice.
The hipster's choice for sure. I think they had Karl Poborski was in the ranks in their most assists at the tournament.
Barros.
But Barros was unplayable. But he had a really good... They had a big man, little man partnership, similar that we would have on the football pitch, Will, of Jan Koller.
Jan Koller.
And Milan Barros. And I think they were a really good team at that point. It was kind of like... I think Nedved was still knocking around at the same point. Smica was there. It was a good side, and they were, 3 out of 3 wins. I think that was the best of any team in the first round.
Go on, I'll
think.
Give you that one. Yeah. 6-7, yeah. Correct, yep. Dave. You know your stats.
Thanks.
We should do that more.
I mean, the interesting one with Germany is obviously they didn't get through. 2000 was terrible, and we discussed in the Euro 2000. When we went through that they had this kind of reset moment, and they really kind of looked at restructuring their entire international kind of system and selection policy and whatever. And obviously in the 2002 World Cup they got right to the final, didn't they? But they didn't play that well.
They weren't a good side,
and they still had that transition phase, and everyone knew they were quite lucky to get to that final in 2002. So it didn't surprise me too much that they didn't actually
do well here
because they were kind of carried by Ballack, weren't they, for those couple of years from early 2000s. Through to the mid-2000s. And the same thing happened here in a way. They had a couple of good players who were probably going to make it into that next phase, but they still had a couple of hangers-on sort of thing. So it didn't surprise me too much that they didn't make it through. Plus, the Czech Republic were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Then they knocked out Germany in that last the last game, a 2-1 win. The Milan Barros goal is probably my goal of the tournament. A great run by him. I think he went past 2 German defenders and just passed the ball into the back of the net. And it was a good moment for him as well. I think it showed his quality that he can do it against the traditional powerhouses in Germany, knocking them out the European Championship.
Well, this also ties into the narrative that is any experienced football manager player is never buy a striker or a player that's had a successful tournament because. It's
more money.
More money. It's a very isolated.
Can they do it over 38 games?
Exactly. Anyone can have a good run. What, Barros went to Liverpool, didn't really cut the mustard. Then he ended up at Villa, didn't really cut the mustard. And he just didn't really cut the mustard. Nice one to see Latvia in, which, if you remember, Marian Pahars was leading them out, which I think we all got behind Latvia, didn't we, that tournament?
Definitely.
I would love a bit of Marian Pahars. Will there be more Marian Pahars chat in the next part? There won't be, because he got knocked out, and we're talking about the knockouts.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Acast recommends podcasts we love.
If you are looking for a brand new true crime podcast, listen to The Making of a Detective, brought to you by the Irish Sun. The series is out right now and focuses on many of Ireland's most notorious cases and the man who once solved them. In episode 1, Pat Murray's story begins with the historic 2007 conviction of the murderer Joe O'Reilly.
Put his thumb up and he said, "See you, Pat," as if to say, "F you, you can't get me."
Follow along as we share the dramatic details of each case. Download The Making of a Detective.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the critically acclaimed West Cork and the one you're listening to right now.
Welcome back. We've chatted a lot about Marien Pahars, and that is the last time his name will be mentioned, probably in this podcast going forward. It's time for the quarterfinals, knockout football, lad. And, you know, we've got the hope. We've come from the group stages. Wayne Rooney, 4 goals in those 3 games, and we're optimistic going in. Well, me and you are, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Dave's not. He says calm down, but I'm all in. I'm thinking to myself, listen, I know Portugal have done well, barring the Greece result in that opening game.
Mm-hmm.
They've looked good. Ronaldo's looking dangerous. They've got some great players like Maniche. He was good in that tournament. I think they had Costinha as well. They had a defensive midfielder. They had some. Rui Costa was still knocking about. They had a really, really strong team, but I know I wasn't fearing them.
No?
I thought, we've got Rooney.
We're England.
Exactly. We've got Rooney. We've got, you know, we're playing well. Those final two group stage matches, we scored 7 goals in 2 games.
Mm.
Why should we be worried? And you look at it, and I mean, great start for England.
Again, it's the vintage 1-0 up after 3 minutes. And what I would describe as a unique finish, Dave, by Michael Owen, on the turn, sort of, I don't know, it's like a scissors kick, but not a scissors kick, sort of.
Just the classic Michael Owen poacher's effort, always being alive, always having that yard of pace to get on the end of the ball.
It's like a karate volley, isn't
it? Yeah, sort of like side on, right foot, past the goalkeeper. And it put England in a lead and in an advantageous position
for once again. Yeah, for 80 minutes, we led the game. And then another one to fit into this, never by a striker, definitely, off the back of a European success, is Helder Postiga.
Yeah.
Because he went to Spurs and absolutely stunk the joint out.
Yeah.
But did equalise in the 83rd minute, which took us to extra time. No golden goal this time, which is in our favour, because Rui Costa bangs one in, and it's an absolute screamer.
It's ridiculous.
It is a screamer. It is hit hard. But I think because David James is in goal,
he's made it look better than it was.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have saved it. But the fact David James is in goal just makes me think someone, Ian Walker, might have got, you know, one of his luscious locks to it.
Unless it had been scripted like the Blobby penalty. But,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
No, but I think that, like you say, great strike. And at that point,
doom and gloom.
I seem to remember Sol Campbell at a moment.
Yeah, he did.
Was that before that? Costa goal. Or?
So it's after the Costa goal. I was just trying to think if it was after the Lampard goal. But
he's either to draw it level, or it was like a winner. It might have even been a winner, because I just remember, again, watch this at home, and I remember my dad, and Sol Campbell scored. He was just levering the sofa, just going, yeah.
Was it a leather sofa?
No, it wasn't, believe it or not. And he was hitting it, and I had to sort of like intervene. He was in the zone. I said, Dad, it's been disallowed. And he was crestfallen. I think he was slightly embarrassed that he'd gone all in and hit the sofa as well.
Well, that should have been allowed, shouldn't it, as well? And
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and because we throw back to the 98 World Cup, and he had one disallowed there, and that shouldn't have been disallowed. So it's just a bit of doom and gloom around Sol Campbell. But
yeah, he's just like, don't go up for corners, mate, because you're going to get a disallowed goal.
Terry wins a header, knocks it down to Lampard. He bangs it in. We're going to penalties. My first tournament was 98, so it started off with doom and gloom in a penalty shootout. This is the first doom and gloom of the modern era, it feels like.
Yeah.
This is where the hoodoo starts.
We didn't have it in 2000. We didn't have it in 2002, did we? We just got cleanly knocked out in both of them. So this is the first one, really, where since the 90s, this is where straight away the whole stress of penalties kick back in for us. The players we were putting forward for the penalties, I actually felt fairly confident.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what, we're going to have a decent chance here. They looked, you know...
Well, Beckham's already missed one in the tournament against... If we didn't mention that France game, we were 1-0 up and Beckham misses a penalty in that game.
Yeah.
And then he... Was this the one where he blamed the spot?
Yeah, he blamed the spot. Was it like sand on the penalty spot? And he kind of... He did this really kind of over-the-top gesture with his arms to say...
One of them. This is bollocks.
I want to deal with this. So he missed one, but he'd also scored one in 2002. And I felt like, you know, captain, I feel like he's going to do it. I was confident he was going to do it.
Dodgy ball.
No, this is it, mate. I know, you don't know where it's swerving everywhere.
Shitty contours
on it. So he's missed. And then obviously
anything apart from the lack of like tactical flexibility when you're playing midfield of Paul Scholes, David Beckham, Gerrard and Scholes, and then you're bringing on Phil Neville in this game to try and nullify the opposition when you have Owen Hargreaves on the pitch, on the bench, and you have Nicky Butt on the bench you could bring on to solidify things with one goal lead. No, it's the pitch. It's the
ball.
I'd like
to see him take a penalty on a sand-based pitch.
Sorry, when was the last time you played beach football, pal?
I'm actually quite good on beach football.
I just said something there, and I remember that when we got knocked out in this, they asked Michael Owen at the end, and he was going, I think it's a sand-based pitch. He was like really happy. The fact he was like, I've never played in a sand-based pitch before. So listen, we had that going against us.
Exactly.
It's just difficult to admit that Portugal were the better team and they beat
bollocks.
Us.
Absolute bollocks.
Do you think they're
the better? 80 minutes we led that game for. It's just, 80 minutes.
It's
hot in there. I think John Terry is used to these. It was in their backyard as well, Dave.
So we are could even have officials against us.
The only way you improve as a footballing nation is if you admit when you're wrong and admit when you get it wrong.
Well, I'd like to see where we've gone wrong here, Dave.
So Deco put his away. Another great player of that era for Portugal. Somehow Rui Costa missed. Ronaldo scored. Maniche scored. Postigo. Don't forget all our players scored. After Beckham missed, Owen Lampard, Terry Hargreaves, Ashley Cole.
Don't forget that.
Scored as well. Then it comes up to Darius Vassell, who I think shouldn't have been taking a penalty.
We're missing off a big part here. Doesn't Ricardo step up first? Their goalkeeper steps up. Does he score the winner?
This is the crazy thing, right? So basically, Beckham missed, then England score four penalties on the trot. Now, I was reading about Ricardo, and he said he couldn't get near any of the penalties. There were good penalties, to be fair, by England. Then he was like, right, I've got to change something in my routine here. So he goes, right, I'll just take my gloves off. So he actually wore no gloves for Vassell's penalty, right? Saves it with no goalie gloves on, gets up and smashes the winning penalty in.
Another letdown from...
And how can we calculate for that, Dave?
Well, all I'm going to say is another lad from Birmingham has let England down once again, and we don't talk about it.
But can you imagine? Can you imagine David James doing that for us? He saves a penalty with no gloves on, gets up and smashes in the winning penalty. He just added insult to injury for me.
If Stuart Pearce was in charge, he probably would have put James
on. To be fair, mate, he'd have been penalty number one.
The Rice, have you ever heard the story about the team sacrificing a goat in front of the Rice for sale? Joined for Series 3 of 21st Century Football. Portugal go through.
I felt for Vassell, though. Because I actually thought under Sven, he was all right. He used to come on and he had plenty of pace. And he used to kind of change it up a little bit. And obviously, he got a lot of chances because Owen was injured quite a lot. And I felt like after that, it really psychologically kind of impacted him, I think, moving forward. But you know what? These things happen.
You know, it's
Dave's there going, we deserve to lose.
It's tournament football, Dave. Anything can happen, especially when you've got dodgy officials. France versus Greece. Now, they are the current holders of the European trophy. And they're going against Greece. You know, Greece are doing well. They're sort of, you know, the party team. Everyone's getting
the party team?
Yeah.
Czech Republic with a party team. Greece were the old aeroplane parking the flaming aeroplane in front of their goal.
No.
There was nothing pretty about that footballing team. Well, let's get things right now. Let's get it correct. Let's not pretend that England got knocked out because they were the better team against Portugal.
80 minutes,
Greece
Dave.
Was shocking. 80 they were
minutes.
Awful to watch.
80 minutes, Dave.
Charisteas. He was actually, I mean, the fact he was your typical big, powerful centre forward, and he really kind of dictated the style of play for Greece, didn't he? Very much kick it up to him.
Well, he was a target man for him, wasn't he? Do you know what I mean? You're saying Greece didn't deserve to win, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
I've got to be one of them things where you see it in club football so often where you've got to play to your strengths. Because if they'd have started trying to knock it about, they're going to get outplayed by all the teams, aren't they? So you think, well, what have we got? We've got a big man up front who can get an head on it. Let's play it up to him. And obviously it's worked. Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't great football.
The Czech Republic had a big man up front, but they were the top scorers at the tourney. So
I suppose they had other players around as well that can make things happen.
You're exactly right. Look at Birmingham City. We've got the Duke. He hasn't played all season. Starts playing, knock it into the back post, he scores. But football's simple.
This was very much a tournament of to go back to what you said, Will, is players that had notoriously not done that well in the Premier League or in English football in general, and they seem to be lighting it up. Theo Zagorakis, who I think was the captain for Greece, he ended up becoming one of the players of the tournament just because he was so instrumental in what they were doing. You know, I mean, I think he was booting the ball up long, I think, for Charisteas. But
he was set piece. He's actually a good player.
Yeah, and he played. He had a couple.
Won't have anything said bad about him.
A couple of scenes,
decent lad.
But he had a couple of scenes at Leicester where he was kind of pretty average at Leicester, I think. Mm. They had Delas as well, who had actually played for Sheffield United previously. And then
a lot of those lads had played in Italy, played for Inter Milan, played for Roma.
Yeah, I think he got
players,
his big move.
And then they went to the Premier League afterwards when they were sort of in the descendant of their career, let's put it that way.
Is it a bit like the Iceland syndrome where we're, you know, as England, we can be very, like, you know, a bit snotty, a bit hooty-tooty, a bit, you know, look down our nose on these nations. And especially back in 2004, these teams can spring a surprise when the ability's there, but just because we think they're a small nation, we go,
definitely a case of, they
were awful. They weren't a good football team.
They won the tournament,
but they were a defensive team.
They beat France, Dave.
They were a defensive side. Well, let's not celebrate them as footballing gods.
To chop an orange, Dave. I know this, but we
can't rewrite the past and say that they were a good footballing team.
Who won the tournament?
They weren't a good footballing team. They've won the tournament, yeah, but they're not a good footballing team.
They had great team spirit, though.
Yeah, exactly. There was
that about them.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean? And there is a lot to be said for that togetherness, and you really felt that as a squad. You know, they were never professed to be the great footballing side.
Exactly.
But I think people were rooting for them the further it went. And I think sometimes people like a bit of an upset, don't they, Dave?
They had newspaper they clippings of Dave's slander on the wall, and they went, "We'll beat Stadman." That's a Greek accent there.
We're doing this to
anti-Stadman.
The 14-year-old Stadman Dave's report.
You've seen bloody Stadman Dave. Video saying we're not progressive.
They'd seen his 14-year-old scrawlings in it.
You would just have to can't go back and rewrite the past that they were good.
They'd seen Statman Day's ring They'd seen his ring binder from when he was 14. All the anti-Greek.
They're terrible footballing time. That's it. You got to remember that.
Let's move away from Greece for now because we do talk a little bit more about them as the tournament goes on. Sweden versus Netherlands ends in penalties. The Dutch get through on that one, and then Milan Baros continues is scoring fun, and Jan Koller gets on there. They beat Denmark, which leaves us with a final four of Portugal, Netherlands, Greece and Czech Republic. Now, if you're going into this final four not knowing what you know now, I'm going Netherlands, Czech Republic, aren't you?
Yeah.
Czech Republic, Portugal.
I think Portugal, I felt like once they'd beat England, I felt that they're emboldened, and Ronaldo was growing as a player as the tournament went on. And you look around at the players that he had around him as well. Was this around the time of like that Porto team as well?
They had a lot of winners in there. I think that was one of the things. Deco was in there.
Yeah, Manish.
Costinha, Manish in midfield, Nuno Valente. Yeah.
Carvalho as well.
Carvalho.
Is this post-Champions League?
Miguel. Yeah, this is post they won the Champions League in a bench of Rui Costa. Remember Simão as well was quite good when he came off the bench. Previously already spoke about Helder Postiga.
Yeah.
So they had a good squad, to be fair. And you never know with the Netherlands in a tournament, do you?
You just never know.
You're not too sure what's going to happen. So for me, I would have gone 100% Czech Republic going to make it to the final because they'd been, as Dave said, they'd been probably the best team up until that moment of the semis. But yeah, Portugal, Netherlands could have gone either way. Ronaldo, Manish and Andrade own goal as well. But, you know, I don't know. It was hard to call, really, that game.
Greece win another game 1-0. This one goes to extra time. So sadly, that does tie into Dave's narrative that they were quite defensive and not playing very good football. But, you know, you've got to win the games that you're in front of you. They've neutralised Milan Baros, the tournament's top goal scorer. Jan Koller's not had a sniff. Nedved neutralised. They've done their job. They've done the homework.
Thomas Rosicki thought it was a very, very good team. A fun team. They should have won it. Look, they should have won it.
Was this the becoming of Thomas Rosicki? Is this the first time he'd have been on the, you know, on like a simpleton's radar like myself?
No, I think he was at Arsenal at that point.
I think he went to Dortmund. I think he was at Euro 2000, but he was one
He was at Borussia Dortmund still.
He's one of the youngest players in Euro 2000.
He still had a Nedved captain in the side as well.
That generation of Czech Republic players were incredible, but ultimately
it's like the Dutch side, isn't it? I feel like they've always had fantastic talent and just.
But unfortunately, you know, Greece, that you say, the gameplay, they've managed to nullify that kind of attack-minded Czech Republic side. And then Delas, the former Sheffield United centre-back.
Did it for Warnock.
He did. And that's it.
He ripped his shirt off and he said, "This one's for Warnock."
And he ended up playing in Italy. And he ultimately, after this tournament, got a move to Roma. He became regarded as one of the great centre. They loved him. At the time, they were like, "This guy's incredible."
Yeah. It is tricky, isn't it? Before we get to the final, let's, you know, recap an amazing tournament, because the final's not the greatest, but who was your favourite player, Dave, of the Euros?
Milan Baros, isn't it? Gotta be.
No, he played for Villa. So
player of the tournament by a mile. Really, really good performances. I think that, again, going back to it, the relationship with Jan Koller was good. Old school partnership.
What about you, Adam?
Rooney.
Yeah.
All day. I think, you know what, if he hadn't got injured in that game, and it's a big if, but... And ultimately, you know, I get what Dave's saying about if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. But I just think he became such an important player. I mean, we didn't really know if he was necessarily going to start in that tournament because he was still, I thought maybe he might be an impact sub, but he was just by far our best player. And then losing him, as soon as he went off the pitch, I thought, oh God, something, I think...
Something's not right.
Yeah, and for me, if we'd have stayed fit, It's a big if, but I think we could have gone all the way. I do think of all the tournaments we've been knocked out.
We've just been talking about how good Greece were. How were England supposed to beat Greece without Wayne Rooney or with Wayne Rooney?
We'd have found a way.
Obviously, the greatest side in world football.
I think we had the most exciting teenage player in the world at the time. I think that he would have outfoxed Delas.
We'd have gone fucking toe to toe with him and Heskey up top and just got round him.
Heskey,
just fucking get round him.
Pushing over Delas. I think for me, Rooney. I would say Karisteas, Zagorakis. Some of those guys, you know, for Greece. He didn't play the best football, but in terms of sheer spirit, you've got to kind of take your hat off to him, haven't you, really?
What was the greatest match of the tournament, Dave?
I think the Czech Republic-Germany game was a good one. The 2-1 win in the group stages. I think that was probably an open game with two sides that needed to win the game. So I think I'd put that up there. I don't think this was a great tournament.
No?
It's not going to go down in memory of being a great tournament. I don't think we've got the same vibe as 2000, where you've got Yugoslavia, you've got the Netherlands popping off. It wasn't, apart from the Czech Republic, there weren't many teams that you look at and think, I like that team. England probably won, but obviously they crashed out at the quarterfinal stages.
What about you, Ad?
I'd agree with Dave about the Czech Republic. I think that 3-2 against Netherlands as well, which you look at that Netherlands team. Again, we say this about Netherlands in all those tournaments in the 2000s. Incredible. Van Nistelrooy had quite a good tournament as well, by the way. He scored
Ian
the first.
Robin was there.
Robin. Seydorf.
A very good traditional Netherlands team.
Yeah, and they still had a really strong side. And for the Czech Republic to beat them 3-2. Again, it's the Barros and Koller connection. Mm. Vladimir Smyser scored one as well. But yeah, I'm going to say, I remember at the time thinking that away from England, Czech Republic were definitely the most exciting team in the tournament. So I'd probably agree and say it's probably one of the Czech games. I think the high scoring Sweden game as well was just for the sheer goals. I think it was the 5-0 against Bulgaria. I mean, you really want to say the final, but you can't really. It wasn't. It's exciting in the sense that you got a winner that you didn't expect, but it wasn't. They weren't a great side to watch, Dave. I'll give you that.
Well, why? So you berated me for 10 minutes, saying that I was right and Greece were rubbish.
No, they weren't rubbish.
They weren't rubbish, Dave, because they've just won the European Championship.
But we're talking exciting games.
You can define what I define rubbish as different to winning.
So you'd rather have a good team but get knocked out in the quarters?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Get the fans. The fans on side.
If we win every game 1-0 in extra time or late on, I'm taking that. I'm running to the bank.
And that's why you support Birmingham City and I support Manchester United. Different philosophies in life.
Wow. Oh,
shots fired.
I was trying to sit down and there was a 12-minute highlights, which absolutely fantastic work by the editor to get 12 minutes out of the Portugal-Greece final. Apart from the goal, has anyone got anything else to say about what is, to be fair to Dave, one of the stains on modern football? Karisteas scored.
Rui Costa's goal against England, again, brilliant. But yeah. Also, seeing a goalkeeper save a penalty with no gloves on.
Yeah.
Just blew my mind.
Is that your iconic moment?
I think for me, like you said, I said earlier, it just added insult to injury. He saved a penalty and then jumped up and it seemed like he did it all in one motion as well. It's like he's gone bang, saved it, just ran up and smashed it. What a penalty, by the way, as well by Ricardo.
Just to win it.
Yeah, for me.
Walk-off moment.
Yeah, if it's not a Greece-related moment, it's going to have to be that for me. It's just an everlasting, while Darius Vassell's crying his eyes out in the corner, Ricardo's just stepped up and smashed an unbelievable penalty straight past David James.
Dave?
Done. Dumped out the tournament.
Who?
England, gone.
He's seen that's your he's iconic moment. Happy about it. He's so pleased that we
didn't
win it.
No, I think that was decent.
That's the Irish in him. That's the O'Brien in him.
Maybe.
What's your iconic moment, that? You can't have that, you sick fuck.
There isn't. This is why I want to try and reflect with this tournament. There wasn't that many iconic moments.
No. Any Marion Pahar shouts? He's probably had too many shouts already.
He's done very well for himself.
You've given him a big ride.
What do you reckon?
I reckon that Thorsten Frings goal at the start of the tournament, probably my favourite goal.
I there might be an argument to say it was like the full kind of onset of Ronaldo maturing as a player, almost. Do you know what I mean? We saw him become really... He was still really young, wasn't he, in this tournament? What was he, 19 something maybe? Would he something like
no,
that?
No, I think it would have been 20.
He was still a young player because he signed for United, the year before or something like that. So we saw him becoming such a key component of that Portugal team and you almost kind of took more notice of him.
I think the future was bright for Manchester United. I think also you can take from that. Rooney, obviously going to join. Ronaldo... doing bits as well. You know, you look at that and you think, oh, this is going pretty well.
Yeah. Right, there we have it. Euro 2004, done and dusted. As Dave would say, a stain on modern tournament football over the last 20 years.
You should really just remove it from the internet, you know, rewrite the news, just pretend it was a year off that year in 2004.
All right, well, pretend that Emil Heskey scored the winner in the final against Czech Republic? That work for anyone else?
Jan Koller.
Fine.
Hat trick.
Oh, shut up, Dave. How have you enjoyed it?
Loved it, mate. Yeah, do you know what? For me, actually, I really enjoyed the tournament. I just from an England perspective, for me, it was one of the best England performances at a tournament in terms of, didn't get as far as, you know, we have done since, but just with sheer excitement, especially around Rooney. Loved it.
If you enjoyed 2004 from an England perspective, you're going to hate 2008 because the Wally with the Brolly didn't get us qualified. But football still happened. It was a bit weird. And we'll be talking about it. Thank you, Ad.
Cheers, mate. Loved it.
Cheers, Dave.
Yeah, great tournament, 2008.
I've got a little grease.
A bit better than this one. I'll give you that.
Got a little grease shirt for you in my back. And we'll see you soon.
It sound right, boy.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day. This week, we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.